right, welcome to the Journey Podcast. This is Dan Panetti, and I've got a couple friends with me, Tim and Katie Matthews. Tim, you're over on staff at the church.
That's correct.
Katie, you're a wonderful bride. Do you have a position here as well, or are you just super
involved
with this?
I'm Women's Ministry Associate here.
Yes.
And then I'm also with St. Timothy Christian Academy as a speech-language pathologist.
Oh, that's so awesome. So
do a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything.
I'm married way up, Dan.
Well, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, that's right.
that's a whole other podcast. But we did want to talk. November is actually National Adoption Month, and you guys are adoptive parents. And I wanted to kind of dive into the whole idea of, like, how did you get to that particular point in life that adoption was an option for you? And then what was that process like? And then kind of where are we today? So I know that's a lot, and you're thinking, okay, so we have, you know, a couple hours to kind of digest. We don't. We're going to try to do this in about 20 minutes. So just start at kind of the beginning where just kind of the thoughts of adoption kind of entered into your family life.
Why don't you kind of kick us off?
Sure. So for our family, it started with infertility and miscarriage. So we had walked through two miscarriages and then was seeing an infertility doctor. And during that time of just praying and trying to, you know, we're oftentimes trying to figure out what the Lord is doing, we started looking into adoption and foster care as well. And within that time period, we actually... I became pregnant and successfully had our first baby, which is now Paisley. She's 10 at PCA. And then had no issues with Molly, who's now 8, and she's also at PCA. So we really thought that we were done, and the Lord just kept stirring in our heart that our love and heart for adoption and foster care, that wasn't going to go away, and we were to do something about it. But then we also... we all can read in God's word how we're to love the orphans and care for them. And mm-hmm. that's not just our heart, but the heart of God's. And so we stepped into that path of adoption and foster care at that point.
Yeah, and we had some friends that had taken the journey of foster care and adoption. And so during that season where we were walking through just miscarriage and infertility and what the Lord's will for us was, in that, you know, we sought out wise counsel and just said, hey, we feel like the Lord's putting this on our heart. Tell us more about it. You know, tell us about your experience. And we ended up supporting some of our friends' adoption process because adoption does cost money, right, to participate in it and to do that. And so we helped support them and through that. And then after we had Paisley and Molly, right, like Katie said, that desire to do that just really never left. And so we really just kind of went hard after it in terms of, hey, maybe this is what God has for us. And just through praying and seeking God's will in that, our yes was on the table.
Okay. Now, you mentioned earlier to me that your adoption story isn't kind of what you would consider typical. Mm-hmm. So what would a typical adoption story look like?
Well, I'd say I don't think any adoption story is like typical. I think what I meant by that was, you know, unfortunately, you know, the adoption process can be a pretty robust, time-consuming process. Obviously, a lot of energy and emotion, but also time. We have some friends that, I mean, it was a 2 or 3 year journey before they said yes, before they were able to welcome a child into their home, because there is a lot of steps that you have to go through. There's funds that have to be raised or paid and all the things. And so JJ, who is our son, who's now 6 and at PCA, as well. We found out about him when his birth mom was already 7 months pregnant.
Okay.
And from the time that we found out about him to the time that we were there for his birth, I mean, we're talking a span of 3 months, right? And so for us, I mean, it was super fast. Like, we were kind of expecting, once we said yes and we started talking with the agency and kind of working through the process, like, we thought, okay, we need to saddle up. It's going to be a long journey, all that kind of stuff. But they were like, hey, are you open to an immediate need? And we're like, what does that mean? Yeah. They're like, are you open for an immediate need?
Yeah.
And we were like...
So months instead of years is what you guys dealt with. And a lot of people would be more in the years category of going through the process and then... Right.
Yeah, so I would say a healthy expectation that we tell people when they're going through their process is just kind of brace yourself. Like, it's probably not going to be quick. And so that's why I say, like, ours was unique in the sense of, like, we found out about him and he was in our home in a very short amount of time. And I don't think that that's the common, you know, thing that happens.
Yes. And the reason that it was so quick is because when we had reached out to the agency, all the other families that were ready to bring a baby into their home had already selected the things that they were comfortable with.
Okay.
So, and whenever I say that, I mean, you know, drugs or race or the circumstances,
gender.
The gender.
Mm-hmm.
And so Tim and I came into this agency at a time to where we didn't necessarily have time to sit and think very hard about what we were or were not comfortable with. At that point, our response was just, we're just open to whoever God has called our family to love and to care for. And a big part of our heart was also looking to love the birth mom as well.
Mm.
And so we had actually heard a sermon that had talked a lot about being pro-life. And then at the end of that sermon, they were talking about, if we're going to be pro-life, then we have to be prepared to love on the woman who chose life for
right.
that baby.
Right. So if you have a person in a situation, a crisis pregnancy, and you're pushing so hard to make sure the child is born, there are a lot of times where that particular woman is not able to raise that child, and
correct.
Adoption is an option, right? We talk about
correct.
It all the time from a pro-life standpoint. Well, it means you obviously Christian families need to be ready then to adopt,
right
to continue on that idea that life has value, life is important. So
mm-hmm.
that's a huge, I think, a huge reminder, I think, to all Christians, right? Because
mm-hmm.
I think we talk when we get into the political season, right, how important it is to have a pro-life standpoint, right? Every life, right? Every, you know, human being is made in the image of God. Well, that means then, right, that if we're going to support, right, life and that children need to be born, right,
mm-hmm.
that having them in good homes is going to be a super important responsibility for us, you know, as the church as well. So that's
sure.
that's a great reminder.
You know, in the ministry that Tim and I do, a lot of times it's marriage ministry. And
mm-hmm.
so we're oftentimes trying to keep families together, keep marriages together. And so we're supporting these couples. But at the same time with adoption is, you know, we're called to an open adoption is
mm-hmm.
what we have. And we're called to love JJ's birth mother as much as we can. And so it was interesting when we began to learn about his birth mom and JJ and the situation. She had gone to a crisis pregnancy center.
Okay.
And so it's literally what we had heard in the summer, or I'm sorry, in the sermon
mm-hmm.
that summer. And now God was calling us to do what
it's
we felt.
Playing itself
yeah.
out right there.
Yeah,
right.
And so it's like the Lord had put it in front of us, and now he wanted to see what we were going to do with
right.
it. And so it was just a complete moment of obedience.
Mm-hmm.
I love control, and I had to completely turn that over because adoption is a beautiful thing, but it starts with a very broken situation.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to walk into that broken situation, but knowing that there's nothing too broken that God cannot fix
mm-hmm.
or amend. And so...
Yeah, he loves broken stuff.
He does.
That's what he does, right?
And it became an honor that he would think of us to love this baby in a way that would honor his birth mom.
That's
well,
awesome.
And that's what we tell JJ often is that, you know, one of the most selfless things that his birth mom did was to recognize that she could not love and care for him the way that we could.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she gifted him to us. And I think it's a beautiful, beautiful story.
Yeah.
And not only that, but, you know, our pastor, you know, Dr. Graham says often, right, and rather than just calling out the darkness, let's shine a light,
yeah.
right? And so we think that that's important, that it's not just about JJ, although it is because he's in our home and,
mm-hmm.
and we've got him for the rest of his life. He's ours, right? But also trying to honor birth mom and to love her and just to say, hey, thank you so much for entrusting us with him. And obviously, we're going to honor you by the way that we love him and to raise him up.
So. Right. So you mentioned it's an open adoption.
Right.
So obviously, there must be a closed adoption. What's the difference between those two concepts?
Closed adoption, I think, is something that probably happened more often in previous decades. I don't know if it's really promoted or allowed anymore to have a closed adoption, maybe in a private setting. But the agency that we were with, they were very vocal about, listen, if you come into our agency, you know, we have research to support it, that this is the best thing for the child, and that's that this adoption is open. And so we were totally on board with that, with where our heart was on
right.
caring.
Which means that you get to know the birth mother and she gets to like have contacts.
It's very interesting. So our agency had a social worker that was counseling her, but also counseling us at times. Mm-hmm. And part of that was understanding what does open mean.
And creating some expectations for what that looks like.
Okay. Yeah. And so she would talk with birth mom to see with what her expectations were with communication after JJ was to go home with us, as well as what our expectations were. So it will look differently for every single adoptive family. But for us, you know, that was after 3 months, we had a meeting in person. We would send letters and pictures and just be open to that communication. And so that was actually something I was really scared about. Because like I told you earlier, I enjoy control. And so the lack of control that I felt I was losing and having to bring JJ back to this person or situation was a real feeling I had. But in that, I learned and grew in knowing that those moments of meeting with us and getting those pictures was such a blessing to the birth mom and showing her that JJ's in great hands. Mm-hmm. And JJ's in a loving Christian home. And it's interesting because in the beginning, we're all kind of fighting for that communication to be a healthy balance. And then now it's just very natural. You know, we reach out on Mother's Day and we hear from each other during the holidays and things like that. But it's nothing that seems, super legal or
scary or forced or anything like that.
It's very natural.
I think
now.
It's funny too because I mean you're cautious at first, like you're really guarded with your heart in terms of the relationship and all that kind of stuff. And we've kind of found too that like now, as time has gone on since mm-hmm. his adoption, you know that communication, it's a little more spread out. It's not as frequent, and oftentimes we find ourselves like wanting mm-hmm. to share stuff with them, you know, mm-hmm. More than sometimes they even may, you know, want it. And so that's been an interesting, you know, dynamic as well. But one really quick story here, you know, during the pandemic when everyone's at home and mm-hmm. lockdown and all that kind of stuff, we actually were able to connect with JJ's birth grandparents his birth mom's side.
Okay.
Because he has an older sister and she's biracial, being raised by two white grandparents, and they've been having to navigate some things as it relates to them and that relationship and birth mom and all these kinds of things. And she was just asking a lot of questions about, you know, her other siblings and JJ and all this kind of stuff. And so we actually were able to set up a Zoom where JJ was able to meet one of his older biological siblings. Wow. And meet the grandparents. And they recently, for his birthday, sent this big care package for him and stuff. And so it's kind of really sweet and beautiful just kind of how mm-hmm. this relationship has gone on and the things that the Lord's doing in and through it now. It's pretty cool.
It's also been a blessing, too, during that meeting. JJ's half-sister, Tim was talking about, looks just like him. Mm. And so I think it's very healthy for JJ to see that there is someone that looks just like him, because JJ is biracial and we're obviously very white. And it was such a blessing for, I know, his sister, but also for JJ to see someone that looks just like him.
Yeah.
And so there was a huge blessing in that as well.
Now, how have your biological girls, mm-hmm. right, kind of taken to having a adopted brother, right? I know, right, I mean, there could be great stories, there could be, you know, sad stories, different mm-hmm. things or whatever, but mm-hmm. I mean, overall as a parent, right, how did you kind of get your girls prepared for that?
Yeah, so our girls were really young. I mean, when JJ was, I mean, they're 4 and 2 mm-hmm. when we brought him into our home. And so for them, what I love about it, with them being so young, this has always just been such a natural mm-hmm. process. Like
they didn't know a whole lot different.
They didn't know a whole lot different. Right. And let me tell you, like, I mean, they love him like, you know, he's their biological brother. I mean, they fight like they fight them, and they love each other.
This
well,
is not a parenting
yeah.
session, though. So.
Yeah, I mean, it is what
I'll
it is,
that
but that's just the reality yeah. of dealing with a 10, 8, and 6-year-old mm. in the home. But, you know, I think, you know, it's messy. You know, there's highs and lows, but I think one of the highs is just seeing how the Lord has knit them together in their relationship and their dynamic, and they love their baby brother.
I think for me, you know, being an adoptive family has just been such an incredible illustration and visual for the gospel mm-hmm. in our home. And yeah. so when we have gospel conversations of, you know, if you repent and trust and believe, then God will adopt you into his family yeah. For eternity.
Yeah. It's literally biblical language.
It's right? literally it's like, oh. the gospel. Yeah.
It's a physical picture of a absolutely. Spiritual reality.
And so those conversations are beautiful, yeah. you know, and I know we would have those gospel conversations, obviously, if we were an adoptive family, but to stare at JJ and see him and understand that it truly is exactly what God calls his children to is adoption. He adopts us. And I think that's been one of my favorite things is those conversations. Yeah. It's been a lot of fun.
It's a living example, mm-hmm. and I like the fact that our kids, you know, praise God and His grace, and obviously our obedience, that our kids, you know, not only hear it but they get to see it, mm-hmm. and it's a part of our story. You know, we're really grateful, really mm-hmm. grateful for that.
What last just kind of words of advice or wisdom would you give to a family that's thinking I'm not interested in an adoptive, you know, being an adoptive family. Like mm-hmm. I'm glad for your story. That sounds sure. fantastic for you, but it's just not something that God has placed on my heart. What would you say to them?
Yeah, I mean, James 1:27 is pretty clear. I think as believers, and we see this all the way from the beginning, you know, Old Testament, New Testament, and the connection of God's heart. And God's heart's always been for the fatherless. God's heart's always been for the widow and for the orphan. Mm. And so I would say maybe your family's not called to physically adopt,
okay.
right? Bring a child into your home. But I do believe as a Christian, the call is to live the Christian life and to reflect the character and the nature of God, in the sense that, you know, I think what God cares about and what moves the heart of God should move ours as well. Yeah. And so when I look at the widow and the orphan and what the scripture says, we ought to care for them. And so that may not mean bringing a child into your home, but what it does mean is that, hey, we should be engaged in widow ministry and taking care of those who couldn't take care for themselves, or and the orphan as well. And so that was kind of our journey in the beginning, was we weren't ready yet to bring a child physically into our home, but we knew that this was the heart of God. And so we supported people's adoption, because the reality is somewhere between $25,000+ is what's required to adopt. I mean, that's domestic. You go international, it's even more expensive and all that. And so oftentimes, you know, when families say yes, there's a huge financial burden that comes with that. And I think for those that may not feel like, you know, bringing a child into their home, but they want to support and all that, there's plenty of opportunity to do so, to come alongside these families whose yes, in this sense of bringing a child into their home, is on the table, how you can come alongside them and journey with them.
Now, you just mentioned two different kinds of adoption,
sure.
Domestic and international. Were you guys open to either, or did you have your kind of hearts and eyes kind of set on a domestic adoption? How'd that work out?
We had talked through all three of them. For the international, one of the things that we had to talk through is, you know, when you do an international adoption, you go over to that country and mm-hmm. you have to stay for a while. Well, we had a 4 and 2 year old. And so we knew that that wasn't necessarily practical for us. And then honestly, I mean, the Lord literally dropped the situation in our lap and we just knew immediately that we were to go after it. But I will say, and kind of to piggyback what Tim said, is we by no means were in a financial place to where, you know, we thought we would be able to afford this. But what was incredible was the church. I mean,
that's
we
awesome.
Saw the church be the church, and they just wrapped their arms around us and provided in ways that we didn't even know could happen. I mean, there's people we didn't know who they were. They were relatives of people, and it was just incredible. And so there are definitely ways that you can be supporting a family who's walking through this. But for those, I find a lot of families are thinking about adoption.
Okay.
And my biggest thing for those families is that sometimes we're waiting for when things are just right. And
Let me know when that happens.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
It's
more of God's called you to this, and you're going to be obedient and walk into it.
And watch Him work.
and watch him work.
Yep.
And he's going to do a work not only in this birth mom and this baby, but he's going to do a work in you and your family more than you could ever imagine. So a lot of times people will applaud us for adopting JJ, but oftentimes I'm like, no, the Lord has done so much in our family and allowing us to be the mom and dad for JJ. So it's an incredible thing to walk into. God was with us along the way. He still is. And I would love to see any and every family that feels called to adoption to obediently walk in it.
Yeah. And I love, Tim, what you said too, right? The idea is you may not be ready to adopt or even thinking about your family adopting, but supporting it.
Sure.
Right? I mean, be prayerful about how God can use you at whatever stage you are, right? There's some parents who's, you know, they're about to graduate their last kid, right? And they're like, you know, I can't imagine adopting somebody and starting all over. It's like, well, support somebody who can then.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, prayerfully asking God, how can I be involved in this? Where can I serve and support? And I think just opening up your heart to say, okay, God, you gotta do a work, and expecting him to show up and do it, and he will.
Yeah, and I do want to make sure to mention foster care and the importance of that. That was one that we considered as well, because it's so needed. And if finances are a concern for you and your family, and you don't think that, you know, God's called you to this big amount of money or finances that you've got to raise, foster care is a beautiful ministry as well, in opening your home, whether it's forever or for a short season of time. But I think foster care is also to be highlighted as well.
Well, I'm just glad that the church is taking a huge focus on it, right? Really promoted this over the last month or so. And since November is National Adoption Month, I thought we'd kind of highlight this and focus this as well. So Tim and Katie, thank you for your time.
You're
and
welcome.
Thank you for just being obedient to God and opening up your family. And we'll just be praying for you as we watch your family grow and mature over the years.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tim.